We want to thank God this morning as we continue with our series, Building Kingdoms, Building Kingdom Homes, Marriage, Parenting, and Growing Together in Christ. So this morning, we're going to be looking at applying discipline. Applying discipline. So let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal, gracious, everlasting Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity, oh God, to be able to share your word. And as we've come, Lord, we ask you to speak and let your word go forth, and that you will be glorified through your word. We thank you for each and everyone here this morning as they hear your word. May your word take roots, and may it implement, Lord, for the purpose of God which has been sent. We thank you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, discipline is something that is hard, right? Discipline is very hard because sometimes you love your kids and you don't want to go to the extreme. You don't want to do certain things in order to get them online, to get them straight. So it becomes difficult. But today we want to look at some passages that tell us that even though we look at discipline to be difficult, but yet God demands it. No matter how difficult it is, God expects us to do it. No matter how we see it to be critical or what have you, God is not looking at what you think, but God is looking at what he expects us as parents to do when it comes to disciplining our kids. So for instance, we have your kids. If they cannot be disciplined at school, do you think they're going to make good progress in their education? No. If they're playing soccer or football or game and the coach is not disciplining them to do their best, do you think they're going to succeed? No, they're not going to succeed. So you see, discipline is very important in every aspect of our lives. Amen? So we're going to look at what God considers and what God expects us when it comes to discipline. Let me skip that. And we're going to go to our internal truth. I'm going to skip the darker one, but come to the lighter one. It says, every parent should know that turning children over to indulge their own will is a setup for heartbreak. You see, God and his words stand as the foundation for discipline. God and his words stand as the foundation for discipline. How many of us, sometimes we discipline our kids and use the Bible? Sometimes we get so angry and we forget about what God says. And then we go over. Like we want to hurt our kids because we are angry. No. But our disciplining should be based on the standard of God's word. As parents, our goal in disciplining is not to modify the behavior. It's instead the spiritual formation is what we should be looking at when we discipline our children. And that is not only the behavior of your child or your children, but the attitudes of their hearts. You want to reach their heart because it's from within the heart that everything comes out. It's from the heart they plant things,
and do things is from their heart. So when we want to discipline our kids, we use God's word because we want to reach their hearts. Not the motives of what they're doing, but their heart is their heart we want to have control of in order to discipline them, in order to put them on the right track. And moreover, show them that just not just the what of their sin and failure, but why. The why is more important. And more, help them to see that God works from the inside. God doesn't work from the outside. He works from the inside. And that should be our aim of disciplining our kids. So we're going to look at a couple of things this morning when it comes to disciplining. Chris, can you please? Okay, there we go. First of all, we want to look at the foundation of discipline. And we're going to define discipline, the use of rebuke, discipline as the use of the rod. And we're going to look at God's perspective on discipline. God did discipline. God commands it. God declares it. And God desires the best for us when it comes to discipline. Amen? Amen. So, parent, if you are afraid to discipline your children, take this with you. And say, God, give me the authority to discipline you. Don't be afraid. Amen? Amen. So, let's look at definition of discipline. I went to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and it said discipline is to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. But I was not that much interested in the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. So I decided to go back to the Bible because I want us to understand that when we come to discipline, it's biblical. So I'm looking at discipline is the use of rebuke and the rod to correct ungodly behavior in your child. Rebuke and the rod. We're going to talk about that later. So, what is rebuke? It's an expression of sharp disapproval of criticism, right? It's an expression of sharp approval of criticism in a sense that it's when you tell your children, you say, look, stop that. That behavior is bad. You're rebuking that child, he or she, what they are doing. You're trying to let them know it's wrong. You're telling that it's inappropriate. Oh, don't say that. But mind you, parents, sometimes we say things and our children say it right after us. Right? But we ought to remind them and even ourselves how we behave. So when we rebuke them, it's in a sense that you're telling them, don't use that language. That's a bad language you're using. That's a bad attitude you're displaying. That is a sinful behavior. You pick at them, telling them, it's wrong. Don't do that. Don't go on doing this. That is foolish. You are rebuking them from doing certain things. And look what Proverbs 13 verse 1 says. He said, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So, discipline can also be defined as rebuking your child or your children from certain behavior that is ungodly, certain behavior that does not represent them as a child of God. Certain things that they are involved into You are rebuking them, making them to understand that this particular life or pattern of behavior is absolutely wrong. Don't laugh with it. Because guess what? They're going to think it's good. They're going to think, oh, mom or dad laugh with it, so it's something that I can do at any time. No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 tells us, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. So in a sense, Paul telling the believers, said, God himself testing us. God himself rebuke us. When we go wrong, God disciplines us. So if God, our Heavenly Father, can chasten us, can rebuke us, it doesn't exempt us from doing the same to our children. No matter how much we love them, do you think God don't love us? God loves us more than we even love our children. But if he can rebuke us, if he can chasten us, then it tells us that we are not limited in rebuking and chastening our children. Because we want them to grow tomorrow, when we are out of the picture, they will do the same in order to build a good family. Amen? Someone said, rebuke shapes and mold us towards perfection. If a child keeps doing one thing over and over, you just laugh with it, you're not doing, taking no action, you're not doing anything, it leads them to imperfection, it leads them to destruction, it leads them to chaos. And when it comes back, and you say, please pray for my children. But it started a long time. We fail to rebuke them, we fail to discipline them, and that grows up. But if God can discipline, God can rebuke, God can chasten us, we are of no exempt when it comes to disciplining our children. So we look at discipline as a form of rebuke. But let's look at discipline in the form of a rod. Discipline is the use of the rod. And nowadays, let me see the hands of parents who, don't be afraid. I'm the only person here can is live, can be seen, they can see you in the pew. But let me see the hands of parents who use the rod to discipline the children. Good. So don't be afraid. No child service ain't going to come here. They're not seeing your hands. But the rod can be used in different forms. There are different forms of rod. You know, I was trying to get some rod and stuff to bring so I can display here. But the one I ordered, it came, it tell me, it said, well, come here. It didn't come on time. But here's the thing. The rod stands for physical punishment. Right? It stands for spanking. It stands for grounding. It stands for time out. It stands for taking away your child's toy, their cell phone, their whatever electronic device they have, that's a rod. You taking it away from them. It stands for something strong that will motivate your child to step back and feel that pain that, oh, I think I did something bad. So when we talk about rod, it's not only getting a spanking or what have you, but rod can be used in different forms in order to put our children on track. Amen? Amen. You know, I was reading this book, and this guy says that. He said, if we raised our children to win in athletes, athletic games, or what have you, if we raise our children to be academically inclined, smart, we raise our children to be successful in life, and fail to raise them in the things of God, when it goes to hell, guess what? It's your responsibility. God going to hold you responsible because you failed to discipline them with the word of God. You failed to encourage them to have a relationship with God. You fail to let them know, even they want to be the next Tom Brady, they want to be the next whatever they want to be, is good. But guess what? The first and foremost priority is their relationship with God. You can lose all those things. You're not going to take it with you to heaven or on the day of judgment. The money, the fame, the talent is going to stay right here. But when you get to God, that's when it starts. So he says, as parents, it's good to encourage our children in these areas. But we should make our children understand that God is the number one priority over everything that is trying to get. Because if you get injured, you're done. Probably that will be the end of your career playing football or basketball. Then what next? So, but if you have God as your first priority, even when things fall apart, God is able to make and open other doors for you to excel. Amen? So, using the rod is not bad, church, to discipline our children. Because guess what? Prophet 13, verse 24 says, he who spare his rod hits his son. I'm not saying it. God's saying it. That's his word, right? If you feel you spare the rod because you love that child so much, and he or she go astray, you don't want to take that cell phone, you don't want to take that computer game, you don't want to take that, or whatever they have that is making them to misbehave or whatever, you don't want to take it away. God said you hit your son. You don't love them. He said, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Don't be afraid to discipline your children because they represent God and they represent you out there. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is a bound up in the heart of a child. And that's true, right? Children will always be children. They will always think foolish. They will always behave foolish. They will think that sometimes they're even wiser than you. But guess what? Solomon said the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod of correction will drive foolishness far from our children if we use the rod of correction. In Proverbs 23:13, he says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, I don't say you should go home and grab your rod and start spanking them on mercy for it. Don't be angry and you try to use the rod to spank them and it's going to go bad. You need to control yourself as a parent. You know, our African parents, right? They're going to tell the child, hey, I'm going to slap you. Before the slap comes out of the mouth, it's already gone. So they ain't going to play and look and say, okay, come here, let me slap you. Before it comes out of their mouth, it's already gone. So Solomon is saying, you shall beat him a whore. It's not only boys, but even the girls. With a roar. The roar that will put them on track. Whatever that is holding them, use that means and discipline. They say, and deliver his soul from hell. We want our kids to be safe. We want our kids to live and be blessed. But if we fail to discipline them, guess what? We fail God. We sin against God. We do not obey God. So some parents don't want to spank their children because they are so precious to them. Guess what? That pressure turning rose that you are afraid to take something to touch, when they bloom out, you ain't going to have control over them. You're not going to be able to control them anymore. And sadly, they're going to break your heart. But God's word tells us not to hold correction, not to refrain from disciplining our children. Amen? Amen. Chris, please help me to the next slide. Thank you. So we kind of look at a definition of discipline. One, discipline is the use of rebuke. Two, discipline is the use of the rod. And it's not only the switch or what have you, but it can be video games. It can be the whatever they have, electronic stuff, cell phone, whatever they have. If it's going to take you 1 month to take it away from them, you know, I tell my daughter, I say, you having cell phone, it's not a right. It's a privilege. So I have the right to take it. I have the right. I pay my money for it. I pay the bills. So when I take it from you and I take it to my office, not even at the church, but where I work, you ain't going to see it anymore. Because I'm going to put it under the last drawer that I would not even see it when I'm at work. So we have to, we're going to come there later. Let me not jump the gun. We want to look at God's perspective of discipline. Now, discipline is not you hate your child. No. It's not you want to get even with your child. You want to take revenge on your child. No. Discipline is an act of love, because what? God does it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He said, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So if you cannot discipline your children, you do not love them. You do not love them, because if we love our children, we will discipline. Because God himself disciplines us. When we go wrong, God disciplines us. And we're going to see further as we go on. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. We say, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Even though God loves us, he loves us so dearly that he could even send his son, Jesus Christ, but that does not stop him from disciplining us when we go astray. So if God can discipline us, I got all right to discipline my child. I got all right, because this is the book that gave me the legal right. Even though the government comes with laws and what have you, but this is the book that gave you the legal right to discipline your child. You don't want your child going into juvenile detention and other places. You want to be at home or at work and the school calling you, say, oh, your child is misbehaving and what have you. You want to be relaxing and your next door neighbor calling, oh, your child is involved in this act or that act. No. And sometimes we feel, and like we said from the beginning, yeah, discipline is difficult. It's hard. But if God can discipline us, then there is no limit for us. We can't look at it to be that difficult, because we as earthly parents, we so love our children, and sometimes we compromise with them. And there where problems come. Amen? Discipline is an act of love because God declares it. Look at Proverbs 13:24. He said, he who spares his rod hates his son, But he who loves him discipline him promptly. In chapter 19, verse 18, he says, testing your son while there is what? Hope. While they are under your roof, when you are responsible for them, you are paying the bills, you are putting food on the table, that's the hope you have to discipline them now. Because when they walk out that door, it's difficult. If you can't do it while they're under your roof, you're not going to be able to do it when they are out there. And that's why God says in his word, he said, testing your son while there is hope, and to not set your heart on his destruction. You have the opportunity to put he or she on the right track. Do what you can as a parent. Even though it's going to be difficult, frustration will come in. You try your best, but don't give up. Because guess what? Satan is standing right there. He's designing everything to destroy God's family. That's all Satan wants. He don't want to see a child excelling in a good way that will bring glory to God. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be worried. He wants you to put your hands and confused and don't know what to do. But hey, God gave us the opportunity, his word. And God, if God can do it, God himself punished Satan, right? He cast him from heaven. So if God can do it, God can do it to any one of us. And he's doing it to us each day when we go wrong. So we ought to do the same for our children. Proverbs 29:15 said, the rod and rebuke, that's why it gave wisdom. When we rebuke our children, putting them on the right track, not telling them, even though they may be smart or what have you, but you are not smarter than me, I'm your dad. You're not smarter than her, your mother. God put them in your life. And we are to use that opportunity. He said, the rod gave wisdom, the rod and rebuke gave wisdom, but a child left to himself brings what? Shame to his mother. And this is where we need to fasten our belts. Because, you know, when we were growing up as kids, if you misbehave in the neighborhood, your neighbor is going to catch you and spank you first before they reach to your parents. And guess what? Another spanking is awaiting you when you get to your parents. So for that reason, you don't want your neighbor to even go to your house when you have done something wrong. But today, the first thing the kids say, you're not my mommy, you're not my daddy. Right? You know, my wife was telling me something. She went to the school the other day, and this kid did something, and they called the parent. The parent came. Instead of the parent trying to discipline the child, the parent were arguing with the teacher why the teacher have to do such and such to the parent and to the kids. But that's wrong. We're telling them that it's right to stand before your teacher and argue with your teacher. We're telling them it's right to say whatever you want to say. And the teachers can't do anything. Because why? The authority is going to come in and you're going to lose your license. You're not going to teach again. You see how Satan is so basic, so corny. He does all the things to destroy the life of our children. But I tell my kids, I say, I don't care if the government can come to my house and say, I'm going to discipline you. Before you can call the police, when they come, hey. The police is going to be looking for you. Not me. Because I prefer saving another soul than another soul going to jail. We who work in the human service, you know, there are a lot of kids today. All these things happen because why? Sometimes parents not pay attention to the children, not discipline the children. Parents not doing what they ought to do. And at the end, it becomes a problem to the home. But for we as Christians, God has given us his word. That's why we need to use to discipline our children. Like I said, discipline is not punishment. It's not trying to get equal with your children. It's not revenge. No. And not yelling. Because when you yell the past year and go to the other side, if you didn't forget about it. But it's one-on-one direct confrontation using God's word. And letting digest it. Why are you doing this? Why are you disciplining them this way? Why are you taking this away? And what God's word says concerning to what you are doing. Amen? Discipline is an act because God desired the best for us. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for they indeed for a few days testing us as seems best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. God punished us. God disciplined us because we are his children. He wants us to be part of his kingdom. He wants us to be part of his family. And that's why Paul was telling the believers, if God can do that, hey, because God wants the best for you. And parents, I know we all want the best for our children, right? We want them to excel in everything they do. But when they are wrong, forget about it. Whatever you wanted to excel in, put them in place. Because that's what God's word says. In verse 11, it said, now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Listen, church, God's word is true and is powerful. If you have not depended on God's word to do things, positive things, you are making a big mistake. God says it in his word. If we discipline our children, they're going to grow and be fruitful. They're going to grow and be better. They're going to do great things. Now, it doesn't mean everything's going to be good in their life. No, but they're going to remember the teachings that they were taught while they were under the parents' roof. They're going to remember the discipline that they learned. They kind of encounter with their parent. The parent didn't do it to hit them, but to prepare them for the future. Amen? The Bible says that discipline, when applied properly, is an act of love. And the reason we discipline is not merely because we want to help our kids. No. But we discipline because we ought to obey who? God. If we cannot discipline them, we are not obeying God. Because God gave us the authority to discipline our children. So we want to look at the components of discipline. The components of discipline. There are two. Boundaries and consequences. If we don't set boundaries for our children, we will not succeed in disciplining them. Do not tell them, say, you know, this phone, I'm taking it away from you. You ain't going to get it. Then the next day, you take it and give it back to them. Oh, that's just a recipe for disaster. Because now they know that whatever boundary you have set, you're not even living up to that boundary. And children are smart. They know how to get away. They're going to get to you in a way that you would, if you're not smart enough, and you're going to fall into their tricks. But yeah, it's two things. I realize our children are naturally foolish, right? What does that mean? One, they do not know what is right. So what? They need us, they need the parents to be taught what is right from wrong. And secondly, they do not do what is right. So we need to tell them to do what is right. If we fail to tell them to do what is right, it becomes our responsibility, it becomes our problem. And they don't want to do what is right. You tell a child, okay, you're responsible to clean the kitchen or wash the dishes. They know they have to do it, they need to do it. But sometimes they don't want to do it. And that's the right thing you're telling them to do. So what are you going to do? Punish them for not doing it. Their choice in the house. You see? Our children are immature to temptation. They don't understand when the devil is using them in a way to destroy their life. But this is why God placed them in our control, in our care. And this is why we have the authority to be able to pull them in track to do what is right and not what is wrong. So, in order when it comes to boundaries, we have to make what? Hard decisions. We have to make hard decisions. And one example I want us to look at is God. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim out at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden. God told them not to eat the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree, the fruit of wise wisdom. He said, do not eat. The day you eat will die. What happened? Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the fruit. God had to make a hard decision. He created them. And he said they were perfect. He said, if you go back in Genesis, he said, everything was perfect after Eve created Eve. He said, his creation was great until sin came in. But even though God loved them, God had to make hard decisions. He threw Adam and Eve out of the garden. And look at verse 24, the latter part. He said, and a flaming sword which turned everywhere to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, God did not want Adam and Eve in the garden so that they could go and eat the tree of life. Because if they had eaten the tree of life, they will live forever. So God was preventing them from going to eat the tree of life. And so he had to make a hard decision, throw them out. Now, parents, I say you should make a hard decision and throw your children out of your house. But you have to set some boundaries and make your children understand that you are the father and you are the mother of this house. And whatever you say stands. They have no authority over you. They have no voice over you. Yes, you can listen to them, but it doesn't mean you compromise when it comes to making hard decisions. Because if we fail to make hard decisions, we fail to set boundaries, they're going to walk over us all of the time. And that's what we don't want to do, right? And God, if God could set boundaries, that means we need to set boundaries for our children. When we say this, is this. When we say no, is no. When we say yes, is yes. And Adam and Eve had to go through pain. They had to go through suffering. And they understood that they sinned against God. And we need to set boundaries that our children will know that this particular stuff or thing that they did is wrong, and that they will recognize and repent of what they are doing. But if we don't set boundaries, it's going to be a continual process. Consequences is another component of discipline. Reap what you sow. If they disobey, for being disobedient, let them reap that punishment for being disobedient. And I look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. And when I read that, and I said, oh, God. Listen and read with me. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have tested him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stone. Did you see that? God told Moses, said, this is why they should tell the children of Israel. If a child is disobeying the parent, there's no second chance. Probably have second chance, third chance, fourth chance, and the parent couldn't do anymore. Take them to the elders. And do what? Stone them to death. That's how God was. And what God was trying to do is that he doesn't want this act of disobedience continue in the circle of the Israelite family, in their home. No, stop it right there. If that example is set, the next person will not be able to do that same thing. And it's the same with us, our parents. If we have 2-3 kids in the home, if you can discipline one child and allow that child to go, the next child is going to follow, and the next child is going to follow. It's going to be a continual process in your home. Because why? When they did it the first time, there is no consequence for the disobedient behavior. You allow them to carry on. Oh, I love my child. Oh, you laugh with it. But it becomes a ripple effect because the oldest, the next. Because it starts from up there. And you no longer have control over it. And that's why God told you, hey, they're going to reap what they sow, right? Stone them to death. But today, we're not going to do that. We thank God for his grace. Because imagine if that was happening today, there would be mass graves all around the world. But even though it's not happening today, God gave us other means telling us what we ought to do as parents. Because why? Children are gifts from God. They are blessings from God. And when God blessed us with them, God hold us responsible to bring good virtue out of them. Discipline them in a manner that when they grow, they will not depart. That even when they leave their home, when they come to church here, they will be respectful as though they are standing before their parent when they see any other person. When they are in the street, they will be respectful to whoever they see in the street. Wherever they find themselves, they will be respectful because why? You put in discipline in their lives. And that's why, if God could do that, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the consequences of disobedience say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God is not going to allow you to get away with disobeying. If God is not going to allow us to get away, why should we allow our children to get away when they disobey? Because the consequences for us when we disobey, there's wrath. It's a God's wrath, it revealed against those, all against all unrighteousness and ungodliness, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Church, God wants us to have a home that our children will be the future leaders for tomorrow. That they will be able to discipline and do the same as we did to them. To be able to train their children as they grow. But if we can instill that in them, it's not going to happen. God's goals for discipline. When God's discipline, God is not looking at the physical aspect of it. He's looking at the heart. He corrects ungodly behavior, and he corrects because he wants to teach discipline. So let us look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 3. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's when God corrects us, that's what he wants us to do, to have a good way of life. And when he corrects ungodly behavior, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. God expects us, Paul read the church in Ephesus, informing them, bring your children in admonition of the Lord. Not how you want them to be, how you think they should be, but how God wants our children to be. And we need to teach obedience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we have paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? God expects us to bring our children up in the way they should grow. And when they grow, church, they will never depart. Let me read this before we close. When God disciplines his children because why? He loves them. If you discipline, you discipline your children because you love them. God disciplines his children because he wants them to be more mature. We have to discipline our children because we want them to be what? More mature. God disciplines his children to increase their capacity for virtue. We should do the same. God disciplines his children to keep them on the right path. We need to discipline our children to keep them on the right path. God disciplines his children to purify them from sin. And we need to do the same. Guess what? If you fail, God's going to hold us responsible. In the book of 1 Samuel, the priest Eli, he had two sons. The Bible says his sons were temple with the offering, the gifts that the people brings in the temple to worship. And more often, they were even sleeping with the young women. And Eli, who happened to be the priest and their father, he failed to discipline them. Guess what? When God got ready, he spoke to Samuel that he's going to take away the priesthood from Eli. And what happened? Eli's two sons died. Because Eli failed to discipline his children. And it didn't even stop there. When he heard that the ark of tabernacle was taken, the Bible said he fell and he broke his neck and died. Because he refused to instill discipline, and the wrath of God came upon his house. And we don't want the wrath of God coming upon our house. We want to instill discipline in our children. It doesn't matter how beautiful they are. It doesn't matter how smart they may be. But guess what? God wants us to instill discipline in our children because they are the future for the church. they are the future for this country, and they're going to be men and women that they will be able to raise their own children tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray, Lord, that even as your word have gone forth, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us, oh God, as we apply discipline to our children, teach them, give us, oh God, grace that we will be able to bring our children up in the way you desire for us to do. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.